I want you to go with me, please, to the sixth chapter of the book of John. And I'm going to read this morning, beginning in the 30th verse, the words of Jesus as he was teaching one day. John 6:30. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." In other words, they're in questioning Jesus, they're asking for his credentials. And they're saying, "What work do you do that will show us who you claim to be, that you are who you claim to be, that we may believe on you? We believe Moses because our fathers ate the manna that he brought down from heaven." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Now, this isn't what I'm going to speak on this morning, but I just want to make a comment on that verse right there. Do you notice that the term is giveth life unto the world? Giveth, as opposed to preserveth. You see, Jesus said that it's God that sends the bread of life that giveth life to the world. Now, if the world needs to be given life, what condition is the world in? It's dead. Jesus didn't come to preserve the life of the world. He didn't come to preserve life because there isn't any life apart from God. He came to give it. Then, verse 34, "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." They said, "Okay, we'd like to have this bread so that we can have this life you're talking about." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Now listen carefully for these next three verses. "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Every time I read that, I can't help but the song that the choir sings. Just goes over and over and over again in my spirit. Am I a little loud to you this morning? It just sounds to me. Okay, that's good then. "I will raise him," is that the name of the song? "I will raise him up." "I will raise him up," that one. And that every time I hear that or read this verse, that song just begins to go over and over in my spirit. I want you to see what Jesus said was the will of God. He said in verse 38, "I didn't come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of God, that of all that he gave me, I should lose nothing, but that I should do what? Raise it up at the last day." It is, beloved, the will of God that every person who believes in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, receives him as Savior and Lord, shall be resurrected from the dead. The resurrection is not just a teaching of the Christian faith concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection is something that's going to happen to each and every one of us who believe on him. If you believe on Jesus Christ, Jesus said, "The will of God is that everyone that believes in me, that I should not lose one, and that in the last day, I will raise up every believer." Every person who has ever put their trust in Jesus Christ will have a physical, bodily resurrection from the dead in the same way that Jesus of Nazareth did. God will raise every dead believer with a glorified, everlasting, eternal resurrection body, just like the Lord's. Now, if you want to know what kind of a body we're going to have, then you read the Scriptures and see what kind of a body Jesus had. And all I can tell you is what the Scripture records about it, that it was similar to the human body in that he could eat. He still had the nail prints in his hand and in his side because he asked Thomas to go ahead and put his finger there and go ahead and feel him and touch him. He said, I'm not a spirit because a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones such as you see me have. He had a flesh and bone body, but it wasn't exactly like ours because he could go through the doors without opening them. That's something that you and I can't do in the form that we're presently in. When Mary saw him in the garden, she did not recognize him. When he was walking along with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they did not recognize him right away until he broke bread with them and they were eating. And so there are some differences about the body, but it's the same one. Now we know it's the same body because there's no body left in the tomb. When Peter and John stooped down to look into the sepulcher to find the body of Christ, there was no body there. You see, God did not cause that one to decay and then give him a different one. He raised up the very same one. Now, that's important that we understand that it was the same body of Christ that walked the earth, that fed the multitudes, that healed the sick, that made the lame walk, that preached the Word of God. It's the exact same Jesus, the exact same body that was raised from the dead. That's why the tomb is empty. This cross this morning. You notice that in most Christian churches and Protestant churches particularly, you'll never see Jesus hung on a cross. Crosses that you wear, you won't wear them with Jesus hanging on the cross. Why not? Because he's not on there anymore. He's not on there anymore. They took him down, they put him in a grave. Well, you know the grave's empty too. See, the cross is empty, but the grave is also empty. He's not there anymore. He's seated at the right hand of God Almighty at the seat of authority. And in the same way that he was raised, so shall we be raised. Every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ shall be raised from the dead. Now, on what basis will that take place? Jesus showed us that in John chapter 11. In this story that John records for us, we're told of a man by the name of Lazarus of a town of Bethany nearby Jerusalem who was sick and ultimately died. His sisters Mary and Martha sent for Jesus to come. When he got there, Lazarus was already dead. He had been dead 4 days. And in the 20th verse, Jesus is talking to Martha and he tells her on what basis the resurrection of the dead will take place. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She was familiar with the teaching of Christ. And she believed in that last day resurrection. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, Martha, I'm going to tell you on what basis this resurrection is going to take place. I'm going to tell you how the dead are going to be raised in the last day. I'm going to tell you what the basis of that resurrection will be. It is based on the fact that I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, though he dies and goes into the grave, yet shall he live. He'll live again. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. In other words, the life that I put in him will never die. His physical body will go into the grave. It'll die. I'll raise it up at the last day. But the new man that I create in him, the life that I put in him, will never, ever die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. He said, Martha, it's really this simple. There's going to be a resurrection at the last day, and this is how you get in on it. I am the resurrection, me personally, Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and I am the life. If you believe on me, if you put your trust in me, I will see that you get raised up at the last day. Now, even though I'm the resurrection, if you don't believe in me, you have no part in the resurrection life. It won't be for you because I'm the resurrection. If you reject me and if you deny me and if you won't come to me and if you won't believe on me, there'll be no resurrection to life for you. We know that there's a resurrection even of the wicked to everlasting death. Jesus is talking here about the resurrection to life. He says the key to the resurrection is believing in me. For everyone that believes in me, I will raise up at the last day. It's the will of God that every man be raised from the dead. It's the will of God that everyone he gives me, I will not lose a single one. I know how to hold on to them. No man can take them out of my hand. And I will raise them up at the last day. You can bank on it. It's a sure thing. But it will come about by faith and trust in me. Because I am the resurrection. Then he went on in the 38th verse and gave proof that he could do what he said he would do. Now watch this. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. This is Lazarus' grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Bold, isn't he? Brash. Proverbs says the righteous are bold as a lion. Boy, that's some kind of boldness. Roll back the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Now see, poor Martha, she didn't have the foggiest idea what the Lord's trying to tell her here. All she's concerned about is that Lazarus' body will be stinking because he's been in there 4 days. He's been dead. Jesus in verse 40 spoke to her and said, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? He said, if you'll just believe what I said, I told you I'm the resurrection and the life. And I told you that he that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. Didn't I tell you that? I mean, goodness sakes, Martha, I told it to you in the 25th verse. Weren't you listening? Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, just simply believe, not understand, I'll tell you, there are things about the resurrection I don't understand. I've never been resurrected before. I've never visibly seen anybody that's resurrected before. And so I don't have all the answers about the resurrection, but I sure believe it with all my heart. I believe that Jesus is raised from the dead, and I believe that I'll be raised from the dead, and I believe that all of those who believe in Jesus Christ will also be raised from the dead. I believe that with all of my heart. If thou wouldst believe, Martha, thou shouldest see the glory of God. He's saying, you won't see God's glory in unbelief. You will not see the glory of God if you won't believe it. If you insist on having understanding, if you insist on knowing everything about everything before you'll believe, if you insist on being from Missouri, is anybody here from Missouri? I hope not. Somebody here from Missouri? Forgive me. If you insist on saying I'm from Missouri, you got to show me. See? And will not operate in belief, you will never see the glory of God. Never see God's glory and never see the resurrection. Never participate in it. Never see anyone else participate in it. And After giving that very clear instruction to Martha, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him and let him go. And then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. With the power of the spoken word, this man Lazarus came out of the grave, 4 days dead, now alive. And Jesus, in so doing, said, Look, I've got the ability to do what I said. The will of my Father is that everyone who comes to me will be raised from the dead. And now you have proof. Here it is. It's living and it's walking and it's breathing and it's still in its grave cloth. Now believe what I told you. I am the resurrection and the life. I will do it. I can do it and I shall do it. I am the resurrection. I've got the capacity to do so. That resurrection is for every one of us. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Subsequently, as you know, Jesus Christ was crucified. He died a physical death. He died a death as real as anybody ever died. He was really and truly dead. But he rose again. And it's that resurrection that we celebrate today. Paul records it in this 15th chapter in the first few verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel or the good news which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye're saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Our sins, not his own, he died for ours. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James and then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Paul says, I want you to know that this resurrection is not some phony hoax. I want you to know that he really did raise from the dead. And here is a list of the eyewitnesses. There were 500 people who saw him on one occasion. And many of them, Paul says, are still alive. And if you want to, they can give you testimony. He appeared to his disciples. He appeared to me. He appeared to James, the head of the church at Jerusalem. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to all of us. And we give witness all through the book of Acts. They gave witness to the resurrection of Christ. They gave testimony that they'd seen him risen from the dead. Now in the 20th verse of that same chapter, Paul tells us what awaits us. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, that word first fruits to me tells me that there's a second fruit and a third fruit and a fourth fruit and a fifth fruit and a sixth fruit and a seventh fruit and so on as long as there is fruit still coming into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is not a one-of-a-kind resurrection. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. For since by man came death, by men come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Did you know that you have a number? Those believers who are dead have a number. There's an order to the resurrection. God's already got that worked out. He knows who and he knows when. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's, at his coming. Jesus Christ has given us victory over the grave. I conduct funerals from time to time in my office as a pastor. I conduct funerals for Christians and I conduct funerals for non-Christians. I can tell you I enjoy conducting funerals for Christians, but I abhor conducting them for non-believers. For a non-believer, beyond the grave, there is no hope. The funeral ceremony is just that, it's a ceremony. For a Christian, it's a celebration. For someone that knows Jesus Christ, it's a celebration. And it is a joyous occasion when you know that somebody knows Jesus. You know that they have spiritually gone to be with him, and physically that body that you're putting in the ground will be restored to an eternal state and taken to be with Jesus forever. Now that is shouting time. That is shouting time. But for those who believe not, there's no hope. There's no hope. It's a terrible thing to bury a non-believer. It's not easy. It's difficult. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us the victory. Now, let me give you some other New Testament scriptures now, and then I want to explain something to you. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, that God hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. In other words, he hath birthed us. That's what it means to be begotten. To be born, he hath birthed us again to a living hope or a living expectation by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope because of the resurrection of Christ. We know that we're going to be raised from the dead. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 14, Paul said, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. If you want a scripture that validates the resurrection for all believers, you just identify that one, 2 Corinthians 4 and 14. There are those that are teaching these days, not in the Christian church, but in cults and in fringe religious groups, that the grave is the end. I want you to know that it's not the end. And when we come to Easter time, it's a time for reminding ourselves that the grave is not the end for a believer. Romans 8:11, Paul said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Now, how is he going to do that? How will this take place for us individually as men and women, boys and girls? When we were reading through John 11, hearing Jesus' words as he spoke them to Martha, and he said, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God? That it is by believing that we are going to partake in the resurrection. The resurrection unto life is for believers and believers only. There is a second resurrection, and you don't want a part in that. If you don't make the first resurrection, the second resurrection is unto eternal death and unto eternal torment. Even the bodies of those that are going into graves today in sin and unbelief, those bodies will be raised also. But they will be raised, according to John 5, I believe it's 29, they will be raised unto eternal judgment and unto eternal damnation and unto eternal condemnation at the time of the second resurrection. But in the first resurrection, the resurrection unto life, Jesus said that if you'll believe, you'll see the glory of God. If you'll believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is it necessary that I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Yes, it is. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Paul said, if you will confess Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, and if you will believe in your heart not here, but here, if you will believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and that he's alive today, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, he gives evidence of his faith, and he confesses unto his salvation. He makes profession of his salvation. Jesus said, if you'll believe. Paul said, if you'll believe. And I know that I tell you this morning that there are many in the body, in churches. These are the ones that I am concerned about because I was one of them myself for such a long time. I heard messages about the resurrection. I heard messages about Jesus Christ paying the price for our sin. I heard about what God had done for us. I believed all those things in my mind. As a matter of fact, I taught them. I shared them one-on-one. I declared these truths to other people, but I had it all in my head and it was not in my heart. I didn't realize the difference between what's here and what's here. You see, to give mental assent to the truth of God's word is not adequate. Even the devils do that. James said the devils believe. They believe so that they tremble, but there's not the first devil that's going to be saved. And so just agreeing that this is true is not enough. Now, I'm concerned about people that are down and out, and I'm concerned about people that are in deep, dire spiritual straits. I'm not nearly as concerned about them as I am folks that are sitting in churches week after week and don't know Jesus Christ in their heart. Because the person that's wallowing around in the slime pits of the earth, he's not deceived. He knows what his situation is. He knows he's in trouble. He knows when he dies, he's not going in the resurrection of life. He knows that he's going to spend eternity in hell. He knows that. But our churches are filled with nice people. Nice, normal folks. Next door neighbors. Who give mental assent and verbal acknowledgement to the truth of the gospel, but have not received it into their heart. And they're dying today by the hundreds of thousands and going straight to hell to await the second resurrection unto damnation and having no part in the first resurrection. You say, Pastor, what can we do about that? Well, what we can do about it is declare the word. We can speak the word because it's the word that produces life. You may say, well, what do I do about it if I'm one of those people? What can I do? I believe all these things you're saying, but I'm not sure that I'm going to make that first resurrection. I don't have the same assurance that you have. I'm not absolutely sure that when Jesus comes to do the will of God, to take those that belong to him in the resurrection, that I'm going to go. I don't have that assurance. What can I do? I'm going to show you what you can do. John 6, right back where we started. Now watch this carefully. John 6, verse number 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth shall never thirst. Listen to it again. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. It takes more than believing. It takes coming. You can believe from now until the day you die, but unless you come to Jesus, unless you make a profession of your faith in him, unless you take a step toward Christ and take him into your life, it will never mean anything for you. I believe, I believe, I believe. So do the demons. But they're not coming to Jesus. They are running for all they are worth. Beloved, if you really believe on Jesus Christ, there will be action. If you really and truly believe this gospel, if you really and truly believe that there's a resurrection from the dead, and you really and truly and sincerely believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He is the resurrection and the life, it'll make you move to action. It'll cause you to do something. You won't be able to sit there and say, I believe, I believe, I believe. You'll move. You'll come to Christ. You'll take action. If I told you this morning that someone had deposited $1 million in your name at the Commercial Bank of Douglasville, you were to say to me, I believe that. You know how I'm going to know whether you believe it or not? I'm going to be at the bank tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock when the doors open. And I'm going to see if you're standing there waiting to get in. If you believe it's there, you're going to come to the bank. Don't tell me while you're still at home at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Well, I believe it's down there. Don't tell me that. I don't buy that. Neither will the Lord. Well, I believed in you, Lord. Don't you know Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Believing will move you to do something. And if you have not made action, if you've not added action to your faith, if you've not added motion or movement to your believing, if you've not added a confession and a declaration of your faith in Christ to what you say you believe, listen, beloved, don't be deceived any longer. You don't believe. You can call it anything you want, but don't call it faith in Christ, because it's not faith in Christ. Faith in Christ will move you to action. When Jesus Christ was calling his 12 disciples, he called them all the same way. He said, come and follow me. Did you hear that? Come and follow me. If you really think I am who I say I am, then Matthew, get up from your tax table and come follow me. Peter, come off that boat. Bring Andrew with you. Get off that ship and let your dad run the business and come on, follow me. Bartholomew and John and James and Nathaniel, all you, come and follow me. If you really believe, there will be action. I believe God would have me say to you this morning that if there's no action in your life, if you have not come to Jesus, if you're not following Him with your life, then you're not in the first resurrection. You're not going to make that resurrection. Jesus came to call every man unto Himself. And every man that came, he said, I'll lose none, but I'll raise them up in the last day. Are you going to make that first resurrection? Are you going in that one when he calls us? Are you going? If you are, rejoice. Hallelujah. If you're not, won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you quit say, I believe, I believe, I believe, and say, I come, I come, I come? Won't you quit saying, amen, 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 and say, I do, I do, I do? I can't think of a better day than this day to come to Jesus Christ. And by coming, show that you really do believe. He that cometh, as well as he that believeth. Don't let the devil deceive you. I can say this, though if you're here this morning and you maybe don't know me very well, and you think, boy, that is really hard what he's saying. I'm going to tell you something. If it's a truth, I'm going to speak it to you, whether it's hard or not hard. Because there's coming a day when I'm going to have to stand before my Heavenly Father the same as you are and give account for what I did when I was here in the flesh. And nobody who has ever sat under my preaching is going to point their finger and say, why didn't you tell me? Now, you can walk out of here this morning and be angry at me if you want to. But on the day when I have to face you in eternity, I'll not have anything to be ashamed of, because I've spoken to you the truth today. If you haven't come, I invite you to come. I invite you, as we're singing this last hymn, James, if you'll come, please. As we're singing this last hymn, if there's someone here this morning in this auditorium who feels the word of the Lord tugging at their heart today, you're not sure that you have a ticket, so to speak, in this first resurrection, I want to give you an invitation just to come. Just walk down front here. Oh, everybody will know that I'm not saved. I tell you, God will know that quick that you're getting saved. So will the devil, and so will everybody else. Oh, people will laugh at me. No, they won't. They'll laugh at the devil because he's lost another soul. And they'll rejoice and sing and make merry with you. Oh, I'd be embarrassed to do that. Well, then just forget it then. But know this, that if you're embarrassed to stand up for Jesus Christ, that he will not stand up for you on the last day. So you can be embarrassed if you want to, but it costs you your life. It costs you your everlasting life. It's that simple. God loves you. He sent Jesus Christ to die for you. He paid a price for you, and he doesn't want you to throw it away. He raised from the dead to show that he has the power to raise you. But in order to participate in that resurrection, you must believe on him. And to believe on him means to come and follow him. I urge you to do so.